Do you want a bra that's sexy or do you want a bra that's comfortable? Well, that was a trick question because I know you want a bra that's both. And now you can have that thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration and the ick and the ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. This means that comfort and support are guaranteed. And ladies, at Third Love, size doesn't matter. Whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, which is pretty genius. So no more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Do you see the deals on these brands?
Of course you can't. This is a podcast.
But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
Welcome to the shit show.
Things are going to get weird.
It's your fave villain, Kale Lowry. And you're listening to Barely Famous, fuckers. All right, Jana, I'm so ready for you to be on my podcast today.
You're so cute. Welcome to Nashville.
Yeah, no, I love it here. This is my second time. And the first time it was a quick turnaround. So okay. I literally ate somewhere and I think I went to the next city.
Yeah. How long have you been here this time?
A week.
Okay. Where are you staying?
One hotel.
Oh my goodness.
It's the cutest place I've ever been.
Yeah. It holds good memories for me because that's where I met my boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah.
It was there. And then I don't know. I just think it's like all the plants and the trees.
Such good vibes. When I walked in, I was like, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. And it looks like an apartment.
Yeah.
When you get in a room.
It's cute.
Love it. So actress, singer, podcaster, author, mom of two. Which role is your favorite?
Being a mom. I know that sounds like so cliche, but it's just, I feel like I'm okay at acting. I'm okay at singing. I'm okay podcasting. But a mom, even though I fall short at times and, you find yourself in the closet crying, I still feel like I'm a great mom.
Yeah.
For what I've done for my kids and what I continue to do, everything is for them.
Yeah.
And so I feel like though there are days where I don't do it perfectly, I still think I'm a great mom. And
I
that's
love that.
The job that's the most fulfilling and rewarding.
Absolutely.
It's what I've always wanted. Even when I was a kid, I was always the mom and my dolls. I was like, these are all my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's so funny because I somehow ended up with all these kids. I never wanted to be a mom.
No.
But when I had my first, I was like, I grew up an only child. So once I had one, I was like, he can't be like me.
Can't do that again.
We got to have lots of kids. But all of your roles kind of fill your cup, I'm sure.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Will you go again for a girl?
No.
No, you're done.
I'm not done, but I wouldn't specifically try for a girl. I've said I was done in the past.
Okay.
But I think I'm trying to convince myself that I'm done. So I say it out loud lots of times, but it's not.
Because how old are you?
I'm 31.
You're still
Yeah.
I mean, you still got those, you have eggs still. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm going to be 40 in a couple of months. And I'm they're pretty much just... down the drain.
But it's important for you to do other things to kind of fill your cup and then you can be the best mom you
for
can
sure.
be.
For sure. I mean, I think there's, I have friends that are stay-at-home moms and I am I don't know how you do that. Because I, as much as I love being a mom and I bring my kids to work with me when I'm filming a movie, they come with me on location. But I also I couldn't just do that.
Right.
I have to I love working and I love doing so many different things with them along the journey.
No, I love when my kids see me working.
Yeah.
My other podcast won a Webby Award and I told Kristen the first thing I was my kids have to come. They're going to the award show with me. That's something that they need to see.
Yeah.
Because,
it's Pink. It's kind of cute. She brings her kids and it's they get to celebrate it together. And I think that's what's so cool. I just got an award for one of my songs that I wrote about my kids post-divorce. And my girlfriend was like, bring your kids. I'm like, well, I don't have a babysitter. And it's, she's like, well, bring your kids. They'd love to see it. So I'm like, okay.
Did they love it?
Yeah, they loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
I
was
love that.
Sweet to celebrate. I'm like, because I was like, this was your song. And
Yeah. Just for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. So bring us back to your childhood, because I feel like people know who you are today.
Yeah.
But we don't know anything about your past, your childhood, how you grew up. You said that you grew up from a you came from a broken home. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I was, well, I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay.
So small.
Super cold.
It is chilly, but I am such a, so I heard, so Madonna went to my high school and she had said like all this bad stuff about Michigan. And I'm like, I am just like, I fight for Michigan. I think it's like beautiful. I know there's like parts of the state that are a little rough, but I mean like up North Michigan like holds my favorite childhood memories. I'm hoping that it's the same for my kids because I bring them up there every summer too. But yeah, no, I mean, I grew up in Michigan. I loved it. We grew up in a really small part of the town. And then where I went to school was a lot bigger, had more money, but we were like, you know, my mom was a single mom working three jobs. My parents got divorced when I was 14.
Okay.
So it was just, you know, a rough age for a girl when, even though I said I didn't need my dad, I was like, oh, that's when I really needed my dad the most.
Yeah.
Because it really was just implemented, you know, kind of what a father is, what a man is, you know, and at that time it's like, then I got boy crazy and then I fell in love with my high school sweetheart who then ended up cheating on me. And so that it was one of those things where it's like, it was the start of like
all the
my path with men.
Yeah. So your dad remained in your life?
He tried, and I think I just like pushed him away because I'm like, I knew what he did to my mom.
Okay.
So I was just like, like, I don't want to have a relationship with you. Now we have a beautiful relationship.
Oh, good.
I think with time and healing and forgiveness, and you also realize like my dad didn't do the work that I've done.
Right.
You know, he doesn't know what anxious attachment is. He doesn't realize like the things that he's done because of like his upbringing. So like I have a little grace for my parents that didn't do therapy.
I think that's almost like a generational thing. I don't think like my parents or my grandparents would have even thought of therapy, right? Like I feel like it's almost like our thing.
Right. No, totally. Weird. Yeah, no, it is. But it's like, that's why I'm like, okay, like you totally act this way because your dad, my grandpa, was this way to you.
Right.
So you start to go, and then when you're older, you're like, okay, I get it. Marriage is hard and like don't condone any of the things you did, but
I can give you some grace.
And as long as you're a great grandpa, like come on in.
Bygones can be bygones.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, I mean, from like 13 to like 20, I mean, even like 30, I like was just like, he could have been gone for all I cared.
That's so interesting. And now you look back and you're like, I probably needed him when I didn't want him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's, hindsight is always 20/20 though.
For sure.
So you can't even be hard on yourself.
Yeah,
for that.
And I can't even say he didn't try. I was just like, no, you started a new family. Like, you're off. And then I feel bad too because, like, you know, he had two kids. So I have two half sisters that no one really know about.
Okay.
They're always like, oh my gosh, what, you have sisters? Because I don't really see them.
Okay.
I moved to Los Angeles when I was 19 years old. And, you know, he had just had two new kids. So in my mind, I'm like, well, he just started a whole new family.
Right.
Kind of forget me and my brother.
Right.
And I was in Los Angeles, so I never spent any time with the girls. So I'm like, it's just, I sometimes forget. I'm like, oh, shoot, I have two half-sisters.
Right,
you know, one's in high school and then one's in college.
Right now. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's tough because it's like you want to have that relationship. But once you're an adult and you try to form those relationships, it's almost like extra work.
Well, it's kind of awkward too because it's like I'll text and be like, hey, like, how are you? There's no like history there between us. So it's like, and they're at that age too where they're like, hey, like they're not going to share indulge stuff too. Cause again, I wasn't there for their upbringing.
Right.
So why would they really confide in me for anything?
Exactly. And that, I have a similar story with that. I met my sister when I was 18 or 19.
Oh.
Yeah. So she's 4 years younger than me. And so we just don't have, like, we're cool now, but we don't it's kind of just awkward. Like we can say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
But there's no substance.
No.
Because we don't have anything in common. We weren't raised together. Mm-hmm. We weren't raised any kind of way.
Yeah. And that's so like for my brother and I. I mean, we're thick as thieves. Like he's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
He's 3 years older than me. Like, you know, we were bunkered down when the fights were happening in my house. Like, you know, like we have the blood and the stories.
Right.
So.
Right. So when you moved to LA, did your family, like, did your brother and mom go with you or they stayed in Michigan?
Well, so my dad told me I would love you, Dad, but this is what she said. He was just like, you'll never, like, you have to go to college. I'm like, I'm not going to college. I don't want a fallback plan because I'll fall back on it. Like,
right.
I don't want to do it.
Right.
I want to be an actress. I'm like, I want to, like,
I mean, it turned out well.
And it's turned out okay. But, like, you know, he was just like, well, your aunt tried modeling and your, you know, your uncle tried music because that side of the family was like the creative side and my dad's. And I'm like, yeah, well, they didn't really try. Like, they stayed in Michigan. You know right. what I mean? Like, I want an Applebee's commercial. I'll stay in Michigan. Like, right. I want more. Like, yeah. I want to, like,
I mean,
go.
I would love an Applebee's commercial.
With the Walker Hayes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was my dad was like, you're gonna come crawling back. I'm like, no, I won't. My mom was like, go live your dreams.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I like never got to live my dreams. Like she wanted to be a country singer and she Aww. Was like, go.
Yeah.
And that was like when I wasn't singing. But and then no, but I was just me.
Oh, wow.
I had met Randy Jackson.
Okay.
When I was waitressing in New York. It's kind of a very, very long story. I was waitressing in Detroit, well, like Pontiac area. And I met Aiden Turner from All My Children.
Okay.
And I shamelessly was like, here's my headshot, which I'd done nothing, you know, besides like a few acting things. And he ended up giving my headshot to the casting director of All My Children.
Okay.
So like a week or so before I graduated high school, I got a call from the casting director and he was like, he's like, do you live in New York? And I was like, I don't. He's like, oh, then I can't use you. And
oh,
I was
no.
like, I can't what do
live
you mean?
There if you need
well,
me.
That's what I said. I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, you have no credits, so you'd be a local hire. And I was like, then what do I have to do? He's like, well, you have to live in New York. I go, I live in New York. I was like, just meet me, please.
Yeah.
So I lied to my mom and say I booked a role in All My Children.
Oh my gosh, you were manifesting. That's what that was.
Manifested.
That's all that was.
Yeah, I know. I need to do that more often. And so I fly to New York uh-huh. and meet with the casting director. And he's like, hey, will you just read these few lines? And I was like, sure. And then he gave me like a small little recurring part on the show.
Amazing.
And so then I like started waitressing at the W Hotel in Times Square. And then I met Randy Jackson. He's like, do you sing? And I said, no, I don't sing.
I would have lied then too. I would have manifested. Yep, I sing. Whatever you need me to do, I do it.
Well, at that time I was like, mm-mm. And I was like, but I'm an actress. And he's like, well, I'm starting an acting thing. So he flew me and my mom out to Los Angeles. I read in front of some casting directors. And then he became like kind of my manager. And then things happened with, you know, with Idol. It was crazy. And so then he kind of gave me off to someone else. But he was kind of how I got to L.A.
That's so crazy. What a story.
Yeah.
So. That's really cool. Do you ever like touch base with him now?
So I saw him in Ireland, actually. I was on
another country.
Another country. he was we were filming that show, Name That Tune.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like a celebrity version of, and so he was the one of the guys playing the keys. And so I ran up and gave him a big hug and he's
oh
like, I'm
gosh.
So proud of you, everything. So it's like, it's sweet. I've seen him throughout my career. And
good. That's so exciting. That's so cool. Randy Jackson is such a vibe.
He's like, he's so chill.
Yeah, no, I feel like that he definitely comes across as very chill, like mellow,
he's
but like
guy.
Energy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like your childhood kind of played its role in kind of where you stand today in your relationships and your experience with men?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, so much of my childhood, you know, the inner child, learning all that stuff in therapy. I mean, all the messages that I thought I carry those shame messages into my childhood. And, you know, I picked men based off of that, right? Because of my own self, you know, worth and or lack thereof. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just what I kind of thought I deserved. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I deserved any better. And I, you know, that's why I'm very mindful now with my kids. Like mm-hmm. the other day, Jolie, she's in first grade, my daughter. And she's like, mommy, I just broke up with my boyfriend. And I was like, well, first of all, you're too young to have a boyfriend. Besides the fact, but what happened? She's like, Elliot told his mom, shut up. And like you said, like, we don't be with boys that say mean words. And I'm like, you're right. We
wow.
don't.
Yeah.
Good job. Like, and so I'm like, I'm trying to instill like, you know, like you don't deserve to be talked to in bad ways. And so just like instilling that young in her
Absolutely.
Brain that like. Know your worth, baby girl. Like,
yeah.
Because I just wish I knew that. And like, I would have.
How he treats his mom is how he's going to treat her. So I think that was a very good decision.
I
on
agree.
Her part. She made a very good choice.
I agree.
Today's episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when you're shopping on your iPhone or computer. So thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. You don't have to do this anymore. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one and finds it to put into your cart. It's super nice. It's a no-brainer. So imagine you're like shopping for one of your favorite sites and you go to checkout, the honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. And within seconds, they apply the coupons that they found for the site. It's amazing. It's a game changer. So honey doesn't just work on desktops. It works on your phone too. So if you just activate it on Safari on your phone, you can save on the go. If you don't already have honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting the show. So get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kale. That's joinhoney.com/kale. Have you ever talked publicly about the domestic violence in one of your marriages?
The first time I publicly talked about it was on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
But no, I mean, kind of, they're like, they didn't really want me to talk about it.
On Dancing with the Stars or just in general?
In general. When I first got my record deal, I was like, I really want to write a song about domestic abuse. This is my life. This is something that I've gone through. And like, ooh, I don't know. Like, that's just a little. And I was like, what? Like, heavy? Yeah. Like, but it's also heavy, it's like, it's my life.
It's relatable.
That's what I went through. And they're like, well, let's just wait for the moment. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Like, you're mm-hmm. trying to like platform it.
Right.
And I understand like to have a platform, that's when you can share. But I also like, I didn't love that. But I was grateful that I finally did get to speak pieces of it on right. Dancing with the Stars.
So where did you start your healing process with that?
You know what? It's so interesting is, the other day, not even the other day, it was like a couple months ago, I was in therapy and something came up with it. And I looked at my therapist and I go, Amy, I thought I was done with that. And she goes, Jana, she's like, that is one of the deepest wounds in your life. She's like, that thread will always come in and out. She's like, you'll never fully be done doing that work because there's always that little voice that you heard when that was going on that's going to come in and out. And she's like, don't get discouraged. But then I was like crying and I was like, I thought I was done. This was so many years ago. Like, why the heck have I not like, she's like, well, you have moved on, but she's like, there's still the piece in you.
Right.
So
yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Cause I was talking yesterday to someone and I said that about, I also was in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, he constantly tells me to get over it because we have kids together. And so he constantly tells me to get over it. And it's like, even if I get over it, I'll never get over it, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like you said, the thread, it's going to just mm-hmm. come in and out. It'll always mm-hmm. be there. So yeah. Unfortunately, we, you know, we just take it with strides, I guess.
I think it's a lot of, I mean, I did a lot of EMDR to help me with that because, girl, I could not leave my house. Like, I had the worst anxiety, like, where I would just be, I would, even though he was dead, I feared that he'd come around the corner. I'm like, he's not really dead. Like, and I would see his face, like, or I'd imagine him at a show, like out in the audience, like, and I'd have like little flashes and I'm like, he's not dead. But it's because of that, like I had to do a lot of like EMDR and
what,
that helped
can you
a lot.
Tell me about that? Because Dr. Drew has also suggested EMDR for me and I live in Delaware, so we don't have those types of resources.
Oh my goodness. It's life changing.
Tell me about it.
So it's eye movement something, but it's like buzzing and the eye movements, and basically you go back to that place.
Is it scary?
It's hard.
Okay.
But it's some of the best work that I've been able to do to get over some really like when I went to my therapist 3 years ago, I was being debilitated again. I'm like, I don't know why my anxiety is so bad right now. I was also in the worst part of my marriage with my ex. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that stuff comes up when you're like, when you feel unsafe again,
right?
All those old past things start to come up. And that's what happened, you know, a few months ago, where it's like that piece when you're abused, when you feel unsafe, you get triggered. And that's the thread that comes in. So going back to that moment and working on that therapy, the EMDR therapy, it's really pinpointing a specific moment. So like the moment that he pinned me down, the moment that he, you know, threw my head against the mirror, like all those like moments you pinpoint. And over time, while doing the therapy, it lessens the impact in your mind.
Okay. So essentially like rewiring almost?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost like brain spotting. Have you done that?
No.
That's another thing too that's really helpful for
what is it
abuse,
called?
Brain spotting.
Spot. You've heard of this? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going back
where
to
we
that.
Have nothing.
Oh, it's so good. And when you come back, I'd love to give you that my like personal.
Absolutely.
Info.
I would love that.
She's fantastic.
You have to go through like multiple sessions of it?
No, I mean, you could. I mean, I did for my anxiety. I mean, it was maybe like 5 or 6 sessions.
Okay. So that's pretty.
Sometimes it can take one.
Okay.
I mean, it really just depends like how you take to it.
Okay. I think, I mean, I've done the work. I've been in therapy for, you know, 3.5-4 years. So I feel like I'm ready to do something.
Well, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that, especially having to deal with, you know, your the parent, you know, the children's parent. That's really difficult. But I will say, like, the get over it. I hope you know that that's his shame.
It has to be.
Because that's something my ex, one, can you just get over it? And I'm like, what you don't understand, and I think a therapist put this really well, you were in a car crash. Mm-hmm. Your legs were completely chopped off. What do you mean? Are you going to tell someone to get over it?
You can't.
Like, you can't. You literally chopped off my legs. Like, I can't walk. I have to relearn everything. Like, this isn't just a get over it. Like, it's not a, you can't put a time to someone that's been in a tragic accident. Like,
right.
You know, losing their legs in a car accident.
Right.
So when I hear someone say, because I used to fight back my ex, like, what do you mean get over it? It's they want to get over it because of how shameful they feel for the actions that they did. So just always try to, like, switch it.
I didn't think he had a conscience. So I thought that was more so. But I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah. It's just they have so much shame and guilt that they don't want to be reminded of your hurt and of what they did.
Interesting. So how did that whole, you know, relationship and situation and trauma affect your career and your mindset during work?
The first abusive relationship?
Yeah.
I mean, I lost everything. I lost my managers. I lost my agents. I couldn't show up to auditions because I was black and blue. He kicked me out. And at that time, I didn't really have a lot of money. So he kicked me out of our apartment we were in. Ugh. He burnt my clothes.
Oh, my God.
But the problem was, is I was secretly married to the man. No one knew. So I didn't know how to get out.
So nobody knew you were married? Your parents didn't know? Nobody knew?
I married him in Vegas. I knew him for 2 weeks when I was 19, just turned 20. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So how could I then think? You can't.
I can't. I'm like, my mom would kill me. Now my mom would have been like, oh, my God, like, why didn't you come to me? You know?
Right.
Yeah, that was awful.
So you lost everything. You lost
everything. I lost my friend. I mean, everything.
Oh, my gosh. And then you do get out, though.
I do get out. We had moved to this place in Woodland Hills, and I had called the cops on him, run down to the neighbors like 2 weeks prior because he was beating me up and said he was going to kill me. And that was the first time he said he was going to kill me. So that scared me.
Right.
And then, of course, that night I went back to him because he took a picture of our dogs on the 101 freeway and said, if you don't come home, I'm going to let them go.
Oh, my God.
So I went home. Mm-hmm. I slept with them. Because it was my fault.
Well, right? It's the cycle.
And then I had 2 weeks later. This is actually, I've never said this story, but when it was about a month before this incident, I'd gotten a call from one of my agents. And they're like, hey, we think you'd be really right for this, this role for Adam Sandler's daughter. And so I got to meet Adam. And they ended up picking Katie Cassidy, but Adam Sandler calls and he's like, I think you're great. He's like, I'd love to have you in the film. I know it's a lot smaller of a part, but will you play my daughter-in-law? And I was like, are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was so excited, mm-hmm. right? Like, I had, like, this is my big, like, my big first, like, studio film. And so we go to the table read and it was like Jonah Hill and Jake Hoffman and just like everyone was sitting there, Kate Beckinsale. And I'm just like, holy crap. I'm like, this is amazing in my mind. I'm like, I got to get out of this situation that I'm in. Cause I'm like, this is my chance now.
Yeah.
Like, I got to like not mess around with this. And so, but you know, still very much like entwined with my husband.
Yeah.
at the time. And, so after the table read, I exchanged numbers with some of the castmates at Katie and, so I texted Jake and I said, hey, me and my boyfriend and my girlfriend would love to go out. Let's meet at the Spider Club. And so that text was the reason for what happened that night. He read my text and he was, because of the things he was doing, he was like, you're cheating. Who's Jake Hoffman? I'm like, no, that's like, that's, you know, Dustin Hoffman's son. And like, I said, my boyfriend in the text and like,
right.
We're all
what are you mad about?
Out. Like, but every night he would grab me, throw me out of bed at 3 a.m, like from one of his ragers. And that night when he read the phone, threw me out of the bed. And then he's like, I'm going to get my gun and I'm going to kill you.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, like now he says gun, like this is it. So I run out of the house. I hide in the bushes. And that was the moment where I was like, I'm hiding in bushes from right. a man. Like what happened? Like how did I get here? Yeah. And then everything else after that, saw his car leave. And then so I ran out and, but he was really there. And then he started hitting, beating. He had his hand to my head, but I realized it was just his hand, not a gun.
Not a gun.
Choking, hitting, broke some ribs. And I passed out. I think he thought maybe I was like done, but I just from like not being able to breathe because he was suffocating me. I passed out. And then when I woke up, he was gone. I called the cops. They came and the warrant for his arrest was attempted, premeditated, because it was 2 weeks ago. He said the same thing and we had it all in writing. Attempted, first degree attempted murder. And so
I have chills because I can't even imagine the fear that you had and just pure survival, trying to survive and get through that.
Yeah, I haven't like really talked about that, like that moment in a minute. And it's, I think I just feel like sad for the, like for any girl that feels like they need to be in that situation, you know, yeah. Like I think of like the Gabbies and like the girls that just feel like that's okay. Mm-hmm. Or like that's,
acceptable.
Like, yeah. Or like what they deserve. And I'm like, the second he laid a hand on me the year prior, I should have left. But I'm like, for years after that, I still deserve, like, I still believe that's what I deserved. It was up until last year that I would get in someone's face to be like, hit me. Because that's what I deserve.
ZocDoc. We love ZocDoc around here. So if you've been stewing on a health problem that you have, you probably are texting the group chat trying to figure out if anyone else has ever had these symptoms. But you're probably not going to find actual quality medical advice in your group chat. So you should definitely get ZocDoc. Thousands of medical professionals are on the ZocDoc app. They're there to help you. They listen like a friend and give you expert care that you need. And if you're trying to find a cause for your symptoms, I can tell you that I have done this so many times. It's not even funny. You don't want to go down like the TikTok rabbit hole, right? Like they're probably not likely to be experts. So there are definitely better ways to get answers. And if you want the care that you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet, ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care that you need. There's also nothing worse than going to a doctor appointment and expecting to be center of attention. You get there and the doctor just like treats you like a number, right? ZocDoc doesn't do that. You'll find the quality doctors who focus on you, listen to you, and prioritize your care. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. And I can attest to this because I booked within like 2 hours after downloading this app. So you're going to love it. Just go to ZocDoc.com/barely and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/barely, ZocDoc.com/barely. I don't know if you experienced this, but I feel like I almost became almost when you're with an abuser mm-hmm. in your next relationship, you take on qualities of the abuser. So oh, yeah. The abusee sure. becomes the abuser. So kind
well, you're
of
fighting
like
you're, for yourself.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. you're saying, just hit me. I kind of had those similar qualities. And I think that's not talked about enough because we think, to your point, we think we deserve that. We mm-hmm. think that's what we get.
Mm-hmm. And then the problem is when that person does, then you start to fight back. Like I remember my therapist, I'm like, am I the abuser? Because now I'm getting in their faces. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're fighting for yourself because this is not what you like want and deserve. And like, you need to get out of these unsafe situations. Like stop putting yourself in these situations.
But you have to learn how to not put yourself in that situation. It's work. It's all, every part of it is work.
Yeah.
So you finally,
need to go to this place called OnSite because that's the place that changed. Like
I have to
literally changed my life.
Okay. And so this is where EMDR is?
You can do it there, but okay. This is like it's called experiential therapy. And I mean, that's the place that changed my life last year.
Okay. Oh, you just went last year. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So you're freshly becoming healed, more healed.
Yeah. It was like the last piece, right?
Right.
So it's like, I've done so much work, but that was I didn't realize I was carrying shame.
Right.
For the longest time, I was like, all my exes have been carrying shame.
Right.
Not me.
Right.
I didn't do anything wrong. Well, that's guilt. shame is, I am.
The things you learn. We don't have this stuff. We don't have that, those types of resources. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's even more sad to think about the girls that are, you know, live in situations like me where they don't have resources to get help, or they don't have, you know what I mean? So you guys get divorced. He goes to jail.
No. Well, so what happens is he gets caught. And then he gets arrested. And then that is when I have to tell my mom that he's my husband. Because in court.
Mrs. and Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, what? And I was just like, I know. I'm so sorry. And there was a rap sheet. I mean, he had been in jail for 7 years for money laundering. He had been in jail for previous domestic abuse.
Did you know this?
I knew one thing. I knew he was in jail for money laundering. And I was like, that's fine.
That's fine. It's fine.
Cute. Okay.
I like a criminal.
Red flag. But like... why? But I didn't know the domestic abuse.
Okay.
I didn't know the other. I knew he had one daughter. When I was on Dancing with the Stars and shared the story, I heard from a few other daughters.
What?
He had like eight daughters from different women. I had no idea.
So they just came forward and were like, hey, you're married to my dad?
They saw the People article about it. And one of them reached out and... we were going to meet, and I didn't end up meeting. I ended up texting, and I said, you know, I don't want you to take this version of your dad as, like, that's who he – she's like, I never got to meet him. So it was like – and I have a little regret not meeting with her, but at the same time, I was also still going through myself, too, that I'm like, I can't give her the piece of, like – and I also don't want to be the bearer of bad news of my situation with her father.
Right. So she reaches out. You go to court. Your mom.
He goes to jail. And he's sentenced, I think, to like 9 years. When he gets out, he commits suicide. And he dies. So, and that day was very interesting because I cried for two reasons. I blame myself. Well, if he didn't meet me, he wouldn't have killed himself. Mm-hmm. And the second one was I'm safe.
Like relief.
Mm-hmm. Relief. Like that felt bad to like feel that.
I think our stories are so similar. I had another situation. He recently killed himself as mm-hmm. well. It was very long after we were together, but nonetheless, still kind of felt like, okay, nobody else has to go through that, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know what his situations were after me, but... relief mm-hmm. because I know there was clearly demons there that he was battling. It's just so life is very weird and the feelings are weird and trying to like navigate them and kind of get through them is all weird.
Yeah.
I don't even know how else to put it. Just weird.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I still have some letters that I wrote to him when he was in jail because I still had that like trauma bond to him.
Yeah, of course.
Those are locked away. I haven't seen them in a minute, but I have a file.
So you were divorced when he was in prison or no?
They annulled
it or whatever?
Took care of it. Yeah.
Okay. So you never saw him again. You get remarried?
Yeah.
how did that go? How did that
Which
go?
Which one?
the first one, are we allowed to say his name?
His name is Mike.
Mike. Okay. So second husband.
Don't know his real last name.
Okay. We don't know his real last name. So you kept your last name.
Oh, yeah. No, because I never did. I never changed it because I didn't want to be married to him. Like, I wanted to, like, annul it. He disappeared. And then I was like, let's just then date when he came back. Yeah, it was a whole, like.
You've lived 1,000 lives in this one podcast. Like, I don't even know where we are. Okay. Okay. So you get divorced. You kind of move on a little bit. And you're dating someone else and you get married to your second husband. Is that right?
Yeah, we only married for a week, though.
So he doesn't count.
I don't count him. I only count my ex as that's what I loathe about Wikipedia. It's like, oh my God, you've been married 3 times. I'm like, no, I've been married once. On paper, yes, I've signed it 3 times. But a marriage for me is what I just went through. Seven years.
Okay, so Mike is, you don't count him either.
No.
Okay.
No, because no one knew I was even married to him. I didn't even.
So we don't need to talk about husband number two because it didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
Okay. So you're your recent ex, your only marriage.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have three children's fathers, and I always say two and an ex-husband because I was married to one. So I'm like, he was an ex-husband. He wasn't a baby daddy.
Right.
So I get you. Okay, so you get married to your kid's dad.
Yeah.
And you guys were together 7 years.
Yes.
And there was infidelities.
Yes.
How did you get through that?
It was tough. The first time that I found out when we were married, my daughter was, she was like 4 or 5 months old.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, you don't get to take my family away from me because of what you did. So go fix you. Go do whatever you need to do because you're not taking my daughter away from me. Like this just, I was like, I worked my ass off to get here. And then to be a mom and like the perfect family that I never had.
Right.
That I've like prayed and strived for and failed for. And like, I'm like, you don't get to take this from
right
me now.
Right.
So he went away to rehab for sex addiction, came back. And I mean, we fought hard
to make it work,
to try to make it work. And I think, he was so 1 foot down each time that I don't think he could have ever crawled himself out of the holes. So, I think he had his own demons, and it's disappointing because we really did try. Like,
right,
we put in the time. He did try. Now, did he try to the capacity that I wish he would have tried? And really, have just been no. But I also don't know the demons that he was fighting.
Right,
that he couldn't do that.
Right.
So it's unfortunate for our family.
Right.
But I'm also weirdly thankful for him because I get to really live a beautiful life now without all that noise.
And do you guys have a cordial relationship now or no?
We do now.
You do? Oh, yeah. Good. Because that's hard. That's so hard.
It was so tough, but because I was so angry at him, for like ruining my picture perfect family and everything that I wanted. But like what I've been able to receive now on this side of things is I really got to find myself through the process of it all.
And I agree with that. I think that's something that people don't really talk about. When I went through my divorce, it was also very public and nasty and just awful. But I did so much and I really found myself, I feel like, for some time. Obviously get into a really nasty, toxic relationship afterwards. But for a brief time, I was really starting to find myself.
Yeah.
And so for that, I'm thankful.
Yep.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So do you guys have 50-50 custody or how does that work?
70-30 me.
70-30. Okay. So where I'm from, 50-50 is mandatory right off
really?
The bat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
It's really, really difficult.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Were you able to come to that on your own or did the judge kind of like, this is what it is?
We had a private settlement.
Okay.
Him and I.
Okay.
We sat down.
Good.
And he got what he wanted and I got what I wanted.
I mean, that's the best way to do it because a judge will never know what's best for your kids, your family, your situation.
Yeah. I mean, it might change when the kids get older, but like at that time it was like the kids, like they need to be with mama.
Right. Absolutely. So does he live here too?
He does. Yeah. Okay. He's like 15, 20 minutes away from my house. And yeah, it's fine now because I look at him for who he is and I'm like, I don't need to like you. I don't need to have, but I don't mind him now.
Right.
Where I'm just like, I hope the best for him. Like, I just like, I'm kind of in a place in my life where I'm like, I want just everybody to be happy. Mm-hmm. I really do. Like, I don't want to harbor, like I have harbored the worst feelings for that man for so many years and just like hate and anxiety and like what it's done to my body. And like to like, I'm like, I don't want to hold it anymore. So like, I wish you well. I really do.
Yeah.
Like genuinely like want him to be happy.
Good for you, because that's so hard. You hear so many things like bitter baby mamas and all that, but it's like no. I mean, we get to
that
when you do the
more
work
havoc on us, too,
yeah,
to like be have to hold all that.
I think it is harder on us. You know what I mean? Then it doesn't hurt them; it hurts us to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of get along and hope for the best. And obviously,
yeah, I mean, I do have some stuff coming out later this year where I share a little bit more of my story, and I think that's going to be maybe difficult for our relationship. But at the same time, I've also been very mindful of where we're at now. And I've taken a lot of things out to not only protect the kids, but like our relationship too, because I do respect where we're at right now.
How do you navigate that with the kids? Because obviously there's a fine line with, wanting to keep things civil and cordial with him for the kids, but also you do have the right to tell your story, but also your kids are going to be older and they can read and they can mm-hmm. see and they can hear. And so what do you...
The first version that I started working on was very angry and very hurtful. It shared a lot of stuff. And then when I kind of read it back, I'm like, I don't want... My kids don't need to know that, and nor does everybody else need to know. Like, those were private moments that were heated between us. Mm-hmm. That isn't going to... I can share these examples in a different way.
And still get the message across.
Yeah. Like, good, I don't need to, I want to.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I also look at things too where I'm like, I've been defined by headlines, and I also don't think it's fair for people to be defined by certain things because of their past. And I look at my ex now and I'm like, he doesn't deserve to have that story always on him too. Like, he gets, like, he should get the chance to do better next time. And I hope by our relationship that I've helped him to be better.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, I think that's fair. I think that's big of you, because I definitely just keep harping on.
My podcast for like the first year, I was like, my access, and like, I, you know what I mean? And there's still moments where I bring him up, but it's more of a situational where it's not like, I don't just completely place the blame on him. I'll go back to like, well, I was also.
Would he text you and be like, what the hell are you, why are you talking about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I still get those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, and that's when I also had to go, okay, why am I doing this? Like, how, and it's not, cause that was so early on that he'd be like, how are you still talking? I'm like, we just got divorced 2 months ago. Like, I'm healing. This is, I'm helping other people. And yes, I was helping people, but I also think I had to kind of like look in the mirror too and go, okay, like, how I'm sharing might, like, I can do it in a more graceful way.
Fair. That's fair.
Pick up that glass of Pinot Grigio or your drink of choice and come have some fun with us on Turtle Time.
We're going to do more than just drink and party on this podcast, Mom.
I know. Okay, if you don't know who I am, well, I'm Ramona Singer. And that's my daughter, Avery. And you probably know us best from The Real Housewives of New York.
And now you'll get to know us even better on our podcast, Turtle Time.
Let's make more iconic moments together every Wednesday.
It's Turtle Time. Follow, rate, and review now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's really hard too, because when you're married and you go through this with someone and you have kids with this person, so much is connected to that. Mm-hmm. And so I still find myself, I got divorced in 2016 or 17? 2016. And I still find myself, like, people will ask me questions that I relate to my marriage, and it's so hard because that is the only marriage that I have and or had. And so, you know, I don't want him to get upset if I'm talking about it, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but also that is my real life. But at some point I had to acknowledge I didn't need to make everything negative. Like, yeah. There were positive things about it, and, you know, we learned from our, you know, all of it.
Well, and so kind of what I do now, because people, I got that all the time on the podcast. People would be like, why do you still talk about your ex? Da, 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 da. So I say now, from my personal past experience, what I've learned. So it's like, instead of being like, well, Mike, I'm like, what I've learned from my past experience from being married to my ex or whatever. Like, and it's more just like how you kind of phrase things to help others, not to hurt the one.
Okay. That makes sense to me. That definitely makes sense to me. So I don't know if this is true or if you want to talk about it. Okay. You had to pay him like a large amount of money? It's crazy that women get such a bad rap for if a man has to pay a woman, but a woman paying a man, the man gets clapped for. They get praised. Like, oh, see, she got, you know what I mean?
That piece was the hardest, one of the hardest pieces to get.
When I saw the numbers, which you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but when I saw the numbers, I was like, ain't over my dead fucking body. That would have been so hard.
Mm-hmm. It was tough.
I don't even know how you got through that.
I think the piece that frustrates me the most is the child. I pay him child support every month. That piece still kind of like
stings
every time. That because I come from a very scarcity mindset growing up with single mom, like, I didn't have a lot of money. Like, I would see red in my bank account in Los Angeles fighting for my. So I'm like, I've worked my tail off to get to where, you know, I'm at or whatever. And And so the fact that someone thinks that they're
entitled to it.
Yeah, that was like one of the hardest things to get over.
How is that justified? Like, did a judge justify
that?
So,
yeah, I mean, even though I have more parenting time, apparently it's when they're there, they need to have the same lifestyle, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so essentially you guys have both are constantly paying for the mistakes that you guys have made, basically, mm-hmm. through, you know, you're harboring feelings or that, you know, that stings. And then he has this going on and you have to pay him and all of that. Does that ever piss you off?
Like I said, it really did. And that's just when I'd call my lawyer and be like, okay, but I don't understand, because if I have the kids 70% of the time, then how am I still paying child support? And he's just like, you have to let it go. This will drive you mad. He's like, take the lump sum of what you owe him until the kids are 18, see the number and throw it away. You will not see it again. And I'm like, but I had to literally have a thing in therapy where I grieved that. And then, cause I'm like, it's a lot and it feels so unfair, but what can I do?
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing.
Whether so basically
I can't control where it goes. Like I tried to. I was like, hey, wouldn't it be so cool if you kept all that money and then like that was their college money at the very end, you know?
Yeah. And he was like,
I can't tell him what to do. I'm not, you know, I can't control. So I had to just take that piece. And that was the last hard piece of work I had to do, was to come to terms with that.
It pisses me off for you, because I just feel like, and this may be sexist, but like as a man, how do you feel comfortable accepting that? Like, I'm pissed off for you. I'm very pissed off for you. And that's all I'll say for that. Well, what are some of the struggles that you didn't anticipate when you became a single mom? If any.
Oh, there was a ton of first struggles. I mean, all the firsts. That was, I didn't realize how hard those would hit.
So how old were your kids when you got divorced?
It was 20. When did I get divorced? 20 to 23. I got divorced in 21.
Okay.
So 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they were 2 and 5.
So you're still hitting some firsts and you're not doing it together.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was tough. Like Christmas destroyed me. Christmas this year was really tough too. It was my first time not having them for Christmas Eve.
Oh.
That was really,
really
bad.
Tough.
And we actually had an incident there because I wanted to delay Santa coming to my house. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I didn't do it the mat year. I'm like, well, I didn't.
Not my problem.
Not, you know, I can change. He's like, that's just not when Santa comes. I'm like, well,
they
need
don't
to
know
have
that.
Christmas morning them running down the stairs. I'm sorry.
Like, they don't know.
Little thing with that. But, you know, I think, you know, I could see his point in a little bit too. I don't know.
So. Yeah, Santa can come 2 days in a row. Three days in a row. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I think kids don't know the difference between, you know, December 25th and December 27th.
I think that too, but I was told it was
okay.
Selfish.
Okay. Well, we all can have our own thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
Has music gotten you through kind of this whole ordeal and
I think all of it has, right? So like talking about it, you know, doing my wind down podcast has been very therapeutic, having, you know, people come on, so that's been therapy. Doing music has been, yeah, very therapeutic. Just releasing songs, writing songs. I mean, the song that I wrote for my kids, The Story, you know, having to explain to them the divorce. Like, mm-hmm. that was the hardest song to sing. And yeah. I still have a really tough time singing that live. Everyone's like, The Story. And I'm like, do you want to see me cry this
right.
entire time on stage? But yeah, I mean, it's been very therapeutic and great.
Dream collab. Song-wise. Music-wise.
You know, I've always said Adam Levine, just because I think that'd just be like a really cool, like his voice is different, my voice is different. But I would probably say, you know, I love Brett Young. He's a friend. His wife's a friend. That'd be a fun little country duo.
Love that.
Yeah.
You have new projects coming. I saw there's a new Lifetime movie coming out for the holidays.
So there'll always be a Lifetime.
I want to do a Lifetime movie. Feel like I could do it.
I think you could.
Maybe a really small like cameo situation.
I got you.
Like I could be a server, like serving in a scene or something.
Gotcha.
So if there's ever any roles that you got, you know, maybe someone doesn't show up, just call me and I'll get on the next flight.
Got you.
I won't bring all my kids.
No, we're fine. We love kids, though, for those movies.
What can you talk about the movie or no?
Can't but okay. It'll be Holiday. It'll be Lifetime.
Okay.
And then I have a batch of songs coming out later. And then I've got my big thing that I've been working on for the last 2 years. It'll be coming out later this year.
I have an inkling of what I think it is. Yeah. I won't say, obviously.
And then, yeah, so just, you know, podcasting and just, you know.
Wind down. Love that. So every episode before we go, I read dating profiles, like outrageous dating profiles. So I'm going to read some to you.
Okay.
And you're going to react. Some of them are wild. Okay. May. She's 19.
Okay.
This account is run by May's current boyfriend. I want to find her a replacement before I break up with her.
Bye. Someone find her, please. Tell her that she's dating a loser.
I mean, and the picture is candid, which is very unfair. Sweet. So she can't even like defend herself or like get ready for the picture. Okay. Mark is 47. He's verified on Tinder, whatever that means. He's a sales director and he is looking to meet someone overweight. Single mothers that are in their late 20s to their late 40s. That's always in their dating profile. My kids are my world. I mean, seeing that statement over and over and over again means never get bored. I seek a woman who is a 5, maybe 6, but thinks she's a 10. I hear Tinder has a great deal of this type of mindset on here. She's got to be at minimum 20 pounds overweight and have some excuse to back up why she's heavy. The excuse is key for me.
I mean,
please,
you can just
stop.
Like, that's just like...
It's just a full run-on sentence. It's just like a big...
Oh, God.
Like, I don't know.
I don't understand. That's why, like, I can't with online dating. I can't do it.
No, I don't blame you. I would never want to do it. Have you been on Raya?
Yeah.
Yeah? And it's still... The dating pool is
awful.
Not great? Okay.
It's awful.
Well, Amanda's...
You're a bunch of models.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, like, Amanda is 33. She's looking for her husband. Literally. I know his ass is on here. Don't swipe me. I'm literally married, about to catch this motherfucker.
Amanda.
Amanda.
I mean, Mandy. I love her drive, but at the same time, like, I just don't think a lot of guys are on there to get married.
No, I think her husband has an account and she's trying to find it.
Oh.
She's going to catch him. Oh, okay. Yeah, she's trying to catch him in the
act. I've tried that.
Oh. Okay. Like, oh no.
No, but I did want to come up with a business where it was like a catch a husband and then like the girls like at the grocery store and like what would the guy do? Like, would he call the girl?
Imagine just like catching your man and then or finding the girl first and you guys like FaceTime him or like you're together and you just show up. Imagine.
Goals.
That should be a next Lifetime movie, actually. I'll be in that one. Thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Kramer Girl and then JanaKramer.com for anything else.
Well, I loved having you
and talking to you.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
See what's screaming all month long during Pluto TV's April Ghouls. Watch hauntingly good movies like Evil Dead and Cloverfield, or terrifying shows like The Walking Dead and Nosferatu. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices. Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you need is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare, so it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.